Toronto, the culture vultures are taking over the city, bro. It's getting disgusting now. They say it's a multicultural city. It's a multivultural city. It's been a circus, and Drake is the ringleader of the clowns. Like, you say you're an ally? Why are you taking opportunities from the exact people you're trying to help?
Yo, fam, I just got a wazzle, and then the shanty brought me over to the bridge.
Like, nobody is speaking like that. If you want to see multiculturalism, go to Tim Hortons. I bet you'll see an array of cultures there.
The Adam and Wax show, I mean...
Buddy, no one's banging my wife. I don't know. You got to be a different stage of life to get to that point where you're like, get, I don't care.
I can't even fathom like a reality in which that's a possibility, bro.
You know what's crazy though? A lot of people eventually they get into swinging, which is like almost the same thing as letting someone bang your wife, but it's a little more fair.
I actually DJed a boat party where it was like literally a sex party, and mans were on there swinging. Like, mans were letting other guys the wife in front of them. Mans are like their wife, and next guy is going in front of them, and the girls in their hood and shit. Girl them, like two girl on one man. Everything's going on. I'm just like, yo, this is too freaky for me still. I would just focus on my music, because...
Buddy, people diss missionary, but... Missionary sounds heavenly compared to that, bro. That sounds like some Sodom and Gomorrah, demonic. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, yo, Burrow Sound, DJ Czar, joined by DJ Natural Wave in the building.
It's like a collab.
It's a collab. Yeah, he's not working for me. He's working with me. You know what I'm saying? We don't.
It's like Burrow Sound on a wave.
Collab times. Burrow Sound times on a wave. That's yeah. But this is a little impromptu. Podcast. It's not really a podcast. It's more like a reaction thing, because as of today, it's Friday, June 7th. And, you know, Toronto.
The culture vultures are taking over the city, bro. It's getting disgusting now. It's getting disgusting, bro.
Elaborate on that.
They say it's a multicultural city. It's a multivultural city. No matter where you go, there's a leech there. Watch out. There's a leech there, bro.
Bro, that is. Crazy. This guy said multiculturalism.
If you want to see multiculturalism, go to Tim Hortons. I bet you'll see an array of cultures there. Go to any fast food restaurant, actually.
Oh my brother. I'm shook right now. We're already off to a crazy start. Hold on, my laptop's not charging. It's getting crazy in here. One sec.
I just mean like Toronto prides itself on being multicultural, but if you look into it very deep, it's not that really, you know what I mean?
Okay, let's do this. If there was like a pie chart of cultures that influence the Toronto culture, right? So let's say white Canadian, let's say maybe 20 to 25%.
White Canadians are not on the pie chart.
For overall Toronto culture? Like, no, I'm not talking about like urban Toronto culture. I'm just saying the average Torontonian.
Okay. Maybe I'm being a little ignorant. So like, perhaps you could like put me out to like, so maybe like,
Hockey.
I was about to say the hockey guys.
Saying A, saying Dart. I mean, those are the only.
Mads are not saying Dart, bro.
Coffee, double-double. You know what I'm saying?
Mads are not, hand me a Dart. Mads are not saying that. Mads are saying, I'm about to roll a spliff. They're saying that. I wonder what culture that comes from. You know what I mean? But yeah, let's keep going. I wonder what else.
Okay, so wait. Okay, let's just skip this part and go to what percentage of the pie chart is Caribbean culture?
I'd say like 65 to 75%.
Of the Toronto urban culture is directly influenced by Caribbean culture. Is it specifically one island, or are we talking the whole West Indies?
I'm going to just say Caribbean culture, because there's a little... It's mostly Jamaican, though, obviously, but...
Mostly
like,
Jamaican, okay.
But also, like, I'd say a lot of it is also, like, the Walahi, the Somali...
What percentage are you giving to Malis on this?
Yo, I'm not even a connoisseur to be doing this, bro, but I would say, like...
This guy's thinking about his safety.
No facts, bro. I'd say, like, okay, if Caribbean culture is 65%, I'd give that, like, a 25-30%.
So what is the remaining... Is this just miscellaneous other? Like,
yeah,
the rest?
You guys get, like, what's that? What's left? Like,
but what about the Filipinos? You don't think they have any sort of cultural impact on the Toronto cultural landscape?
Like what?
I'm asking you.
Bro, I generally don't know. So please leave it in the comments if you know. Maybe like what's that chicken spot?
Jollibee's?
Maybe something like that. I literally don't know what these guys be doing, bro. Other than like
Debuts? You know about Debuts?
I don't even know what that is.
You know, it's like kind of like a quinceañera.
Might as well go to Debuts.
I went to a debut. A lot of people go to debuts in Scarborough. Like if you
like a debut.
I guess it's a debut. It's spelled the same way.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Okay, so for the audience, the reason why we're having these discussions is it is right now Friday, June 7th, and within the last week, I guess, Snow Day and Drake dropped Wagwan Delilah.
Culture Vulture anthem. Culture Vulture, stand up.
Here's what I'm going to say, bro, because I rate Snow Day. I've been a fan of his content, and for me, I'm not a black person, so for me, Snow Day represents like the content creators from Toronto who are non-black but nonetheless influenced by black culture as a result of their environment, right?
Let me ask you this.
Yeah,
you say you fuck with Snow Day, right?
Yeah.
When you first met him,
I haven't met him yet, but
when you were first introduced to him,
yes,
since we're doing semantics,
yeah.
What kind of music was he making? How did he sound?
Honestly, I was introduced to him more as a comedian, content creator, but I knew that he was a rapper before that, and I knew people who saw him as a rapper first. Were you put onto any of his music prior to Wagwan Delilah?
I wasn't put onto any of his music prior. Did you know of his music prior?
I did not, no.
So he never ever gave you any music or anything?
No, man. I just started talking to him like maybe the last like month before Wagwan Delilah and everything dropped. I was just trying to get him on an interview because like, you know, he makes funny skits. And here's the thing. There's this TikToker named Five Blades.
Okay, before we get to that.
Yes.
This is why I was bringing this up. Yeah. I had you confused with another DJ that I know. Which is my bad.
Was he also non-black? Did he look like me? Was he white?
He wasn't white, but he was non-black.
He was Arab?
He was DJing an event, and this is something I do respect about Snow Day. Mm-hmm. Basically, this is when Snow Day was like rapping, and he's like, yo, I want to give you some of my tracks to play. So then DJ is like, okay, sure, bet. Like, I don't really like have AirDrop or anything, so do you have a USB? So he's like, nah, I don't. But I could go to my crib and I could grab it for you.
Hungry.
He's hungry for it. So the man went to his crib. I don't even think he had a whip or anything those times. So he went, grabbed his music, gave it to the DJ. Respect that. That's hustle. When he put that music on the laptop, it was none of this Wagwan, oh, I'm so Jamaican type. I'm that. It was not that. It was just you're Eminem, you're rapping as these white boys rap. And that is completely fine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, hip-hop has expanded where it is not just one race, one face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you're rapping your experiences, I completely understand that.
So are you more cool with a white boy who definitely sounds like a white boy and is in that genre of rap as opposed to a white dude who's trying to sound maybe more black?
I'm saying stay true to your experiences.
Okay.
If you're just switching up to blow up and then that's what happens, then like, yeah, it worked. But like, you're just cosplaying. This is a costume that you put on. You know what I mean? At this point, you're just an actor. You stepped into a role and now you are fulfilling this role. But at what point does the camera turn off? Like when, you know what I mean? When is the scene over?
But what I feel like is being excluded from this conversation is the fact that, yes, while Toronto urban culture is directly influenced by West Indian or Caribbean or mostly Jamaican slang, I guess, let's say patois, other people grow up around that. So people will end up being influenced by it. And I understand that it's almost like there's like a code switch that people are able to do where they're able to speak like you and I are speaking right now. But if they're excited or if they're angry or if there's some type of reason, they'll switch to the yo fam blah 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 blah, you know what I'm saying? And when I was in high school, even the black kids, like, they weren't talking like that too crazy. They were. It was almost like a universal nobody kind of talks like exaggeration. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there. Okay, now there are some people that talk like that, but
now there are
generally nobody speaks like that, bro. Nobody from Toronto speaks like that, and it's so annoying that that is known as the Toronto accent because that is not our accent, bro.
So what is the Toronto accent?
How are you speaking right now? That is your accent. You're from Toronto. How I'm speaking right now is the accent. I'm from Toronto,
bro. This guy always pronounces the second T, bro. You always, bro, I hate when you pronounce the second T. This guy, I'm from Toronto.
But like,
that is how it's spelled, but like, no one says it like that. But you are from
of here. Course there is a slight vernacular. There is a little style to it. But no one is like, yo, fam, I just got a waz on the shanty brought me over to the bridge. Like, nobody is speaking like that on their day-to-day reality. When you go, it no one's speaking like that, bro.
Okay, so if no one speaks like that, how is someone speaking like that cosplaying? Because, like, if it's cosplaying, that means he's copying people who actually speak like that. But you're saying no one actually speaks like that? Or are you saying certain people speak like that and then it gets exaggerated?
I'm saying the words, okay, I'm only referring to the specific song, Wagwan Delilah.
Okay.
Which is literally leeching off of Jamaican culture. Every reference is not really Toronto. It is Toronto references, but all the slang is like Jamaican slang, Caribbean slang type. So these are two white men's harmonizing Jamaican slang, making a mockery of it. This is not a real song. They're making a mockery of Jamaican Caribbean culture, bro. And that is where the problem is. I don't really give a fuck how niggas speak on their day-to-day basis, bro. But you're not going to make a mockery of Mandem's culture, bro.
I understand what you're saying, because if it was Turkish or Syrian culture that was sort of being perverted, I would feel a way too. You know what I'm saying? Because now you're making a whole joke out of the thing. You're clowning it. But they did not invent Toronto slang. Like, Wagwan is part of Toronto vernacular for a certain pocket of people. I mean, like,
and that is...
So is someone who's not Jamaican or not Caribbean, no, they're not allowed to say Wagwan?
Bro, I didn't even say that.
No, but I'm saying, like, these are things that are incorporated into culture outside of these guys. Yo, like, that they're influenced by it.
That's completely fine. Like I said, I don't care how people speak outside of this. Like, anybody can say Wagwan. I don't own anybody's right of speech. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My only problem is when you start making a mockery of it. And I'm going to start getting on you Toronto man comedians who, like, are getting beer reviews, making a mockery of, like, what is Toronto urban culture? You know what I mean? When you guys turn your little iPhone TikTok off, you guys could go to your job and you guys could go to your privileges. You know what I mean? The people who, okay, there are some people that actually speak like this. And what it really is making a mockery of Toronto black youth who are from underprivileged neighborhoods. You know what I mean? Who really, like, they might not be the most educated, so this is how they move. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they are getting a wazo in the staircase. Wagwan, like, and that is their real life. But that's what make a mockery of it, and it's hilarious.
But what I will say is, for people who actually talk like that, right? And let's say majority of them are black. But if you're someone who lives in that same neighborhood, you're of the same income, maybe of the same education, and you grow up around that, you're going to end up speaking like that. Like, there are, like, ghetto whites that speak like that, and that's actually how they talk.
And that's completely fine. I know.
It's authentic still, in a sense.
It is authentic, completely authentic. Any rate, bro, all I'm saying is be true to your experience. When you first started doing music, your experience wasn't working out for you, so you had to adopt a black experience. You had to adopt this cosplay. Look at all this TikToks that he does. Every TikTok that he does now is this Toronto man cosplay. Oh yeah, Wagwan, da 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 da. But is that really you? That's just the question. Is that really you?
What if it's a part of him because he grew up around that, but it's not necessarily his entire personality, but it's not inauthentic because it's not like he's from outside. Like, he's growing up within these communities where people are talking similar to that. And then he adds a comedic twist to make it a little more digestible or funnier to other people. I don't think
that song is not digestible, bro. Pause.
I don't think he has malicious intent is what I'm saying.
Okay, if I do something f***ed up, but my intent wasn't bad, is it not f***ed?
But I feel like there's two ways to look at it. You could either look at it face value, or this is a funny song paying homage to the variety of slang used in Toronto. But then there's the, darker... The patois.
It's only one, you know what I mean? Like, this is the thing.
Was there no Wallahis in that song?
I didn't hear no Wallahis, bro. I didn't hear whatever the Filipinos brought to the equation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every time mans need a forward, they just, let me just hop in the black. Let me just take some black culture real quick. Miley Cyrus needed a forward. Let me start twerking with Mike Will. You know what I mean? Every time Drake needs a forward, yo, Popcorn. Yo, and anybody, like anybody that has some black culture relevance, please help me. Like, and now that Drake doesn't have his bedrooms no more, he's like, I have to lick this next white you, and then we have to cosplay together. Like, let's get it.
But okay, this is my follow up question, because if we are to say, okay, black people, they've established this culture filled with music, fashion, vernacular, everything, right? Are you saying that it is exclusively reserved to them, where people can't adopt from it? Because I feel like throughout human history, we've been adopting from each other's cultures, making it our own, whether it's flavors, spices, music, sounds, languages influence other languages. So it's like, I feel like this type of argument, it either seeks to like gatekeep black culture, which if you want to do that, other cultures do that too. Like, but is it like a gatekeeping?
I'm not trying
thing?
To gatekeep it, but I'm just saying like, black people have to stop. Oh, that was a bad crack. Black people have to stop giving their culture for free.
But what do you expect in return? Like, say Snow Day is like, you know what? I like this. I like to incorporate how you guys talk into my work, into my art, right? What do you expect from him? Do you want him to like donate to like a Jamaican cause? Like, what do you guys want that would like make it just?
Don't make a mockery of the shit. Starting for that. That's the baseline.
Okay.
That's the least you could do. You know what I mean? Show some respect to the when I listen to this song, I don't feel like, oh, he's bigging up my culture. I feel represented here. I feel like, yo, who the f- is this white you, bro? Mm-hmm. Like, that's literally the sentiment I get from it. And I might be alone. I know I'm not alone.
No, because a lot of people are, you know what I mean? The same sentiment.
And also, Drake co-signing this was like the stupidest move he could do. I know everyone's saying, oh, Americans don't get it. Well, isn't that like one of his biggest demographics? Like, why are you intentionally shunning a very important demographic for yourself to prove some stupid point that you don't care about a beef that you obviously still very care about?
I don't like that people are criticizing Drake, because I feel like they're looking too deep into it, where it's like, oh, there's other artists Drake should have. It's like, he probably saw it. He thought it was funny. He's Drake. He can do whatever he wants. And he's like, yo, can I hop on this? Let me hop
but
on this.
But how come Drake never sees any of the good artists in Toronto?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Everyone's sees like,
who do you want him to do a track with? Havaya Mighty?
Bro, please do like Toby, one of them, so he could stop faking his YouTube views. Do it with any of these rappers, you know what I mean? Like,
are you talking about like, because okay, here I think
I'm tired. Like, I don't want to see you co-sign a Lioness Kerr. I don't want to see you co-sign this Gucci and Prada don't go together. Like, that's some bullshit. Everything that he co-signed from Toronto has been so when Americans look at us like, okay, Toronto's always on some bullshit.
I don't think, okay, Smiley, I know some people like to mock him or whatever. He has decent music.
He does have songs that I do like.
You know what? I rate Smiley. He co-signed Party Next Door.
That was, okay, I'm talking about in the last 10 years.
Okay, recently. Recently, it's been, like you said, Lioness Kerr.
Bullshit. It's been a circus, and Drake is the ringleader of the clowns. Like, just that, you know what I mean?
Oh my God, yo. I'm like, oh, we're going to be on Torontology.
Real, like, real BBL Drizzy looking at him, bro. Like, it's actually insane how he kind of ruined the prestige of Toronto. When the Toronto Raptors won the championship, we were at the top, bro. No one could speak to us. We had the best artists in the world, the best teams in the world. Yo, we had the best everything, bro.
Yeah, and then a global pandemic hit.
Where are we at now? We have the worst accent, worst economy. You know what I mean? Like, everything is the worst now.
Our immigration policy, everything. It has gone to since we won the ring. And
we have to blame two people, Justin Trudeau and Drake.
Bro, you cannot put that on Drake, bro.
He was the global ambassador for Toronto. What do you mean you can't put it on Drake? The globe is looking at us like, you are our ambassador, fam.
We have to take responsibility, too, because let's be honest, the most relevant artists within Toronto culture, a lot of them are involved in gang activities. So for Drake, who is a brand, who is connected to higher ups, he can't necessarily trust, like, it's almost a liability for him to put someone on, because now you're endangering this guy's life, because now other people are going to envy him. His ops are going to be like, oh, Drake co-signed him. Why isn't Drake co-signing us? Like, I feel like he learned his lesson from, like, the whole Moji thing. And he was like, okay, like, I can't necessarily, like, entrench myself in this scene as much as I like it.
So you're really telling me the only option Drake has is to put on a super gangster murderous rapper, or he has to put on stupid clowns that make meme music?
What are his other options?
There's no in between. I'm sure.
Like, bro. Okay, no, I'm saying name some artists that Drake should have put out.
We already named a few artists. I'm sure in the comments you could put
Hawaii Mighty and Toby. Those are the two. They're already signed. So he already got Junos. Why is he gonna?
Bro, what the fuck could a I know niggas that have Junos that are homeless right now, bro.
Cap, no way. Homeless,
bro.
Okay, no, don't lie. Homeless is crazy. Homeless with a Juno is definitely cat.
Not homeless, but
I know,
like,
what you mean, to the effect.
They don't have their crib, you know, like, they're surfing right now. They're surfing right now, broski.
They're couch surfing.
Right now, fam. A Juno is not going to do nothing for your career. So what are we really saying? If Drake really is for the culture, it doesn't matter if this guy has a million charges, bro. If he has the potential to change the family and the surroundings, I feel like Drake should put that on. Like, what do you do? Bro, I still don't even understand this argument. Like, if Drake says he's really for the culture, I feel like it's not even an argument. Like, oh, it's going to ruin my brand. It's going to ruin my label. It's going to ruin my network connects. Like, that's kind of stupid, bro.
We keep saying the culture, but obviously you're referring to the urban culture, because there is a whole, honestly, most likely majority of Toronto who isn't involved or partakes in any sort of Toronto urban culture. Like, people who grew up here, random lands down in Bloor, like random spots, you know what I'm saying? Who are in like their own communities. But I know what you mean, that if he cares about fostering the culture, he should put on people that represent the culture. So do you feel like maybe he feels that Snow Day represents a version of Toronto culture?
What version of that, bro? Actually, no, you're right. It does represent a version of Toronto culture. Vultures that are seeping through the entertainment industry, bro, in every facet, whether it be the artists, the DJs, the promoters, and all of, like, it's insane.
And bro, you know who I do want to place some responsibility on? Shout out to Peel Plug, okay? If you know who that, it's like a Instagram page. They do these interviews where they go to malls and they interview like teenagers and like Saga or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And it's you Arab youths, you know what I'm saying? And I'm a fellow Arab, but the Arab youths, bro, I feel like we're kind of responsible for adding to like the exaggeration. Cause you'll see these Arab youths like, yo, fam, like real talk, like, you know, it's like, fam, I know you're not talking to mama and baba like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way. And I know the thing is, it's like, from an outside perspective, right? And I'm going to give you a non-black perspective right now that probably a lot of people, whether they like to admit it or not, feel, okay? We see black culture as cool. You know what I'm saying? That is the standard of cool, you know? And as an outsider, you have two options, all right? You're either going to go your own way and separate yourself because you're like, yo, I'll never be that. Let me just like double down on like my own culture. And maybe like you won't even ever like try to interact with us. Like, yo, I don't even like hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Or if you resonate with the culture, you resonate with the music or the slang or the dance or whatever, you're going to try to participate. You know what I'm saying? So how do you participate in black culture without being a vulture?
The problem is a lot of people want to participate and line their pockets at the same time. They don't want to just, okay, let me learn, let me respect, let me see what's going on here. Let me actually learn and get knowledge on the culture. Not just, okay, this was popping, this was popping. Let me find a way to monetize this for my own self. You know what I mean?
Like pick and choose kind of thing.
Exactly. And I'm a DJ, so I could only relate this to what I know. But this is very prevalent in the DJ industry, where like a lot of non-black DJs, they know that the black music is cool. So they just, they're like, let me just stick my toe in. I'll get a very like not really a deep knowledge of what it is. I just know like all like the top 20 hits type. So I could play it at the club and I'll be known as like a cool type guy. But I'm not going to really like actually pay attention to what's really going on. And
you know what you guys got to do? You know how like in order to become a Canadian citizen, you have to pass a test with like questions about like the founding years and like early laws and stuff. You guys need to have a test that gives you this kind of like black passport if you're not black. To test your knowledge, because it's like, that's such an arbitrary thing where it's like, oh, like you have to know about the culture. Like what part of the culture?
The thing is like, this is where it gets tricky because ownership is what is most important here. Like a lot of these clubs, we don't own the clubs, bro. So yes, they want the black music in the clubs, but they don't want the black DJ playing the black music in the clubs. You know what I mean?
They might not even want black people.
That too. So like, it gets very tricky because, yes, we do want to kind of preserve our culture in a way where it's not being leached on. But when we don't own these entities that are monetizing it, it's kind of hard to, like, take ownership of that, you know?
Yeah, like, I know what you mean.
You kind of get what I'm saying?
100%. Like, especially not even just the clubs, the actual record labels who are putting out the music.
Exactly.
Sometimes are not... More times they're run by a certain type of white group. Yeah, Yahoodies. I'm gonna beat that out. But what I do want to ask you is, how much responsibility can you place on someone, let's say even Plush, who, you know, I'm cool with Plush. She's like a friend of mine, you know?
Don't take yell that. No, I'm joking.
Brother.
I'm just joking.
She grew up in that environment. When I speak to her off camera, she is very much like that. She's not really putting on an act. That is who she is. It's authentic to her.
And that's completely fine. You know what I mean? Like, even when I seen that video, I cringed. Like, I cringed all the way where I almost imploded in myself. However, I'm like, yo, I believe this is exactly her. She is the kind of girl that would, like, be at the McDonald's 3 a.m. And she'll also be at the McDonald's 3 p.m. in the same pajamas. You know what I mean?
So, shout out to those girls in the PJs at
but
McDonald's.
Yo, they were lit. You know what I mean? So, like, I believed her. I don't know. When I see Drake, I'm like, I don't really believe him. Because I'm like, are you Jamaican with popcorn? Or are you Habibti? Or are you a UK man? Or are you Spanish? Or are you a hockey guy with Nima? Or, like bro, who are you, bro?
He's a pop star.
Literally, who are you? You're just like...
He's an artist, bro. Like, he adopts things that inspire him. And I feel like this whole conversation of like gatekeeping culture, it's like, it's borderline leading to segregation, because it's like, oh, you should only do what you are, not what inspires you, not what drives you. He might hear an Arabic song tomorrow, be like, yo, that I felt that in my soul. I want to make an Arabic track. And if the Arabs are like, oh, well, he's not Arab and he didn't do the history about all these conquests and the history of the Arabic language. Like, I feel like that is not good for humanity. I don't think exploitation of culture is good either.
So what's the difference between exploitation and being inspired?
I don't know, man, because that's what I'm trying to get to.
I feel like if you're monetizing the you are exploiting it, bro, regardless. I was inspired. Okay, then drop it for or if you're so inspired, every dollar you make from that Arabic track, send it to the Arabic people that need help, bro.
Okay, so is... an Indian franchise owner of Pizza Pizza technically exploiting Italian culture?
Pizza Pizza is not Italian
culture,
bro.
Okay, but pizza is Italian.
The pizza is not Italian culture.
Okay, let me rephrase.
You know what I mean?
It.
Like that's insane, fam.
Okay.
Shout out to all my Italiano Sopranos.
Costa Nostra. But you know what I'm trying to say? Like, if someone who is outside of a culture makes money off something that is not from their culture but from outside,
that's exploiting it.
So even if they're giving back to said culture, is it still exploitation?
No, it's not. And I'll do it even further. At least hire a couple people from the actual culture. I'm tired of going to Jamaican restaurants and there's no Jamaican people working in the restaurants, bro.
Oh, that bothers. Whenever I see non-Jamaicans working at a Jamaican restaurant, there's two options. If it's a white girl with dreadlocks, I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, she's with the owner. You know what I'm saying? Normally it's like the owner's thing. I'm like, okay, she's as in the culture as she could be without actually being from that culture, you know? Or it has to be a Jamaican. But when I see like a brown dude or an Asian dude,
I brought a shorty on a date. I'm trying to remember what the place was called, bro. But I'm like, okay, this is supposed to be an upscale Jamaican food, but because I only like to eat Caribbean food. I don't really like to eat other foods.
Only order Caribbean food.
Yeah, it's just what my palate is, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm going there expecting an upscale Jamaican spot. It was kind of upscale, yes. The food was Jamaican, yes. But why am I being served by a white girl? Hey, how can I get your order today? Wait, what? What? What is happening right now?
But this gets tricky because this is exactly what, let's say, the Indians are doing and other cultures. Do you give the job to the person who's best suited for that job in terms of skill? Or do you give it to someone based on some sort of
reality in which you cannot find a Jamaican waitress who is suitable for this job?
But what about at that moment when they put out the application, the most qualified, most experienced server was that white girl?
It's not about who is the most qualified server. To me, it is who could give the most authentic experience, because what this place is selling is an authentic Jamaican experience. Mm. So I feel like, I just feel like it doesn't make sense. If I go to, okay, I was going to say SeaWorld and there's no whales and shit, but they just took out whales, so yeah, I'm gonna be cheese. I'm like, this is not an authentic SeaWorld experience because I don't feel like I'm at the sea. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, based on what you're saying, what you're saying is a little more like nepotism, a little bit.
And of course, it's very black and white. Like, but I just feel like if you're trying to sell an authentic experience, then make it authentic.
Okay. This is my follow up question because I know you have a big opinion on this topic. What about non-Caribbean DJs who specialize in dancehall, in reggae, in Caribbean music?
Those are the biggest leeches. And that's why a lot of them are fat.
Is that a thing? Is there a correlation between non-black dancehall DJs and being overweight?
Only a couple.
Only the good ones.
But I would say that is another epidemic that's happening in Toronto. There's a lot of, and yes, I will say Asian DJs, a lot of Asian DJs that are putting on this Rasta hat and say, oh no, I'm the reggae top DJ, hire me for all the reggae sets. And then they play Clark's and Murder, She Wrote and all the fucking top 10 songs that we're tired of hearing every fucking time. And then they try to go, no, you guys are vultures, bro. And the only reason why I say that is because you're taking opportunities. You say you're an ally. Why are you taking opportunities from the exact people you're trying to help? There are such limited reggae places to even spin. Even when you go downtown, like, there's not... How am I trying to say this? I'm trying to say, like,
The opportunity
is not there for a lot of people. You know what I mean?
And so the people they do give the opportunity to happen to be not black.
Exactly. So them taking up that space is not allowing someone who is actually of that culture to feed their family, to live, to survive. You know what I mean? So I'm saying if you are an ally, then what you are doing is very contradictory to your mission statement.
So what should they do? Because, like, there are good DJs Maybe there might be instances where an Asian DJ who spins dancehall might be better than a black DJ.
Never.
You don't think, bro? I mean, I'm not dissing. You know what I'm saying? But I've seen some good black DJs and I've seen some not so good black DJs. Just like I've seen good DJs and bad DJs from every race. So it's like you can't just say, oh, we have to give him the job because he's black. It's like we also want to give it to the best person. I didn't say that. You just said there's no way they can be better.
I'm just saying that if you got all the black DJs and all the Asian DJs, obviously the people from that culture is going to be like the top black DJ is going to be more knowledgeable than the top.
We're Asian not talking
DJ.
About the top. We're talking about the average or maybe even the middle or even the lower where these guys are getting hired. Like what if there's like, okay, like
I'm just saying,
we just found a better Asian DJ.
Bro, we live in Toronto. I know 75, bro, and I'm not exaggerating. I know at least 75 Jamaican DJs in Toronto that are better than DJ, that are better, bro. Like, we could go there, fam. We could go there. We could really go there, bro. I'm tired of hearing Murder, She Wrote. Like, what else did she write, fam? Everyone falls in love sometimes. We got it.
You know what's so funny? Whenever you mention the songs that, like, these top 10 songs that everyone plays, those are the ones I play for, like, white crowds. But, like, they look at me like I'm the dancehall god. You know what I'm saying? Like, you play, hey, you got another tight skirt. They're looking at you like, yo, you're the guy. You know? And I'm like, yo, I'm an open format DJ. So it's like, I try to know a little bit of everything, but I'm not a specialist like you, for example, or like a DJ Snoopy who, like, this certain genre they're like very entrenched in, you know.
And
what I'm
that's
saying?
The only problem I have. Like, don't say you specialize in something when you're not special. If I brought any of those guys to Jamaica right now,
they get clowned.
They're getting buckled, bro. Tomato. They're not rocking with those guys, bro. Even if I brought them to the West End to do a banquet hall in the West End, they're not rocking with that, bro. You can't mix Barrington Levy with Fever, bro. I don't care what reality we're in, bro. When I heard that, I was astonished.
Who'd you hear that from? I'm like, sounds like something I would do. No, I'm joking.
I heard it downtown. I don't want to say the club, okay. Though, I'm a spin there. I'm trying to keep the relationship with them. You know what I mean?
Fair. No, but I do think it's really funny when you talk about these things, because as an open format DJ who ends up playing dancehall, because I'm not going to lie, even drunk whites at one point of the night, they just want to hear straight dancehall, but they want to hear like the old drums dance hall, like borderline reggae dance hall, like the harder, like almost like old reggaeton drums, you know?
And that's different. Like, that's obviously different. You have to play for your crowd, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I have no problem with being an open format DJ, with playing all genres, with knowing a little bit of all genres, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I only have a problem when you're saying you specialize in something when you don't know, when you only know like the surface level type shit.
Yeah, okay. I want to bring this conversation back to allyship, because what you're saying is, you know, you're exploiting a culture when you make money off it and you're not knowledgeable in a certain way. You're not giving back in a certain way. There were bare allies that donated to Black Lives Matter just as a cause. You know what I'm saying? Because they're like, oh, I'm an ally. Black Lives Matter. Little do they know where their money was going wasn't necessarily where maybe they thought it was going.
I didn't talk to donate to Black Lives Matter.
No, but like it was the pressure. it was the pressure, and it was also the sentiment that, okay, I'm an ally.
It was the white guilt, bro. It was the white guilt.
It was white guilt.
It was white guilt. You guys felt guilty. You guys got scammed. Ha ha.
Don't, I'm not gonna lie, I never posted nothing about that, and I never donated money. You know,
you
what
guys
I'm saying?
All posted black screens that thought you were doing something, bro.
I didn't.
You know, and I'm not saying you. No, I'm but just I'm talking,
everyone did though. You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, you guys, and this is what I'm saying. A lot of people, they do surface level shit. They just say, "Oh, I'm a part of the culture. I'm down of this." Yo, if you're really down, bro, give up your reggae sets, fam. If you're a real
I'm like, yo, is it even possible for them to be that?
But like, yo, you know what? I was hired to do this reggae set, but I know a guy who actually, bro, give it to that guy.
Okay, how about this? How about this? Because, yo, I also feel like they have to preserve themselves too, bro.
I'm going
to
be real, fam. And I'm going to be so real, fam. If I got, let's say somebody links me for an Indian gig right now, I'll say, obviously the fuck not, bro. I know 3 Indian DJs that are lit. I'm going to pass it on to those
guys. You're like, yo, Sizzle.
Bro.
I would link Sizzle right away still. But the thing is, I've DJed weddings where it's like, it might be Indian and this, Indian and that. And it's like, I'm not an Indian DJ, but I'll get as many songs as I can. I'll mix it. I'll play it to the crowd. But I'm not going to like then tell people, yo, I'm an Indian. I DJ Indian songs. So there are real Indian DJs who will smoke me. You know what I'm saying?
And that is the only problem I have still. Never call yourself the reggae guy because you'll get smited, bro.
Okay, but how about this? How about someone like DJ Ritz, who's a legend? You know what I'm saying? And he is an old school DJ Toronto. I feel like he can hold his own when it comes to that genre or hip-hop.
Isn't he black?
He is a white man.
DJ Ritz?
Yeah. R-I-T-Z. You never seen him?
Maybe I'm thinking of somebody
else.
He's
actually a great guy, too. Like, I've seen him on multiple occasions. I met him the other day.
Does he specialize in reggae?
No.
Okay, then.
I guess he's more hip-hop, I guess.
Okay, so then what are we talking about?
But hip-hop is also a black art form. So it's like, where do you draw the line? Like, I don't know.
Not anymore. Hip-hop is not a black art form anymore.
Talk about it.
There's in Germany who are doing hip hop that, like, their inceptions of hip hop has not been like of any black descent. It's been like some old German artists that started rapping and then they heard it, like, blah blah blah. Like, hip hop is so. How am I trying to?
It's like fluid. It evolves, right?
Exactly.
And this is the same thing with languages, even linguistics. You'll have a language start in this little area and then it spreads. But when it spreads, the one that spread north is going to sound more like what's close to them. The one that spread south is going to end up south. And I feel like the same thing has happened, not just with the English language, because let's be honest, like, Patois is derived from English as a result of colonization and stuff. And more closely related to the Irish dialect of English. You know, say sometimes I hear Conor McGregor talk, it damn near sounds Patois, right? Yeah. And then from there, once Patois migrated to Canada and then it mixed with, I guess, the Canadian accent, and then maybe you incorporate a little bit, a few Somali words, a few Arabic words, whatever, and then you combine that with where we are, which is the GTA. This is how the Toronto accent kind of came to be. And it's almost like you can't even call it Patois because you actually hear Patois, it sounds way nicer. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm just saying, if the song you are monetizing has Wagwan in the title, you are monetizing off of all Jamaican culture.
I don't know. Okay, I'm looking at the lyrics, right? Wagwan, Delilah. Okay, Wagwan, Patois. Top left. Top left, is that a Patois thing? I feel like that's
Bro, all I said, if the song title, yo, that's like me. Yo, what's some Arabic?
Shisha, baklava, shawarma.
Bro, if I have a song called Shawarma, fam, and I'm saying,
I would not be cheese.
I'm the king of shawarma, and I'm making fun.
I would snuff you if you said you were the king of shawarmas.
I my ass, it's a shawarma.
Like, oh, that's beef.
You know what I mean? If I'm mocking the shit.
Yeah,
gonna be cheese, bro.
Okay, but if you had a song called Habibti or something, like one of those terms.
Habibti, like, sucking my Habibti, licking my ass. Bro, if I had a song
of
that, like that.
Enough of that, right now.
If I had, like, so what are we talking about?
That's not what he's saying. He's not saying Wagwan, Jamaican shorty, I'm doing this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's just saying Wagwan, Delilah.
What I'm saying is making a mockery of it.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. You tell me, is this a serious song?
No.
If it's not a serious song, then it's a joke.
I follow what you're saying.
It's a joke, right?
Okay, so is it a joke laughing with or laughing at?
You tell me, bro. I feel like they're laughing at, bro. Everyone who listens to the song, you think they're saying, oh, wow, like,
I'm inspired.
Yeah, like, what a lovely person.
No, it's meant to be funny. It's meant to make people laugh. But what are they laughing at?
Exactly. You're laughing at, like, a caricature of this urban person who is not smart and he can't really form a proper sentence. So he's trying to, He's trying to win the affection of this girl, but he's not smart enough to do it in a romantic way, so he has to spit out some clown garbage. The Drake verse was hard, though. I'm not going to lie.
I'm going to pretend like you didn't call Drake a white man earlier in this episode, because I don't. Drake is not a white guy.
Bro, Drake is a chameleon. He is whoever he's standing beside. When he's next to Popcorn, he's Jamaican. When he's next to Bad Bunny, he's like a gay Spanish guy. You know what I mean? When he's next to Snow Day, he's a white man, fam.
But I feel like that's not just Drake. I feel like a lot of ambiguous looking light skins are able to pass as a lot of things. But I feel like if Drake walks into a room and we don't know who Drake is, people are going to be like, that guy's black.
And I'm being facetious when I'm saying Drake's a white man. You know what I mean? Like, obviously.
You're like, two white men, Snow Day and Drake. And I was like, I'll have to address this later. But you were going in, so I was like, But here's.
I'm just being facetious.
Here's what I will say. And I wanted to play this video from Five Blades, who is a TikToker.
Okay.
And I wanted to get your reaction. I know I showed you this earlier, but let's just focus on what Five Blades is saying over here.
I'm sitting here wondering if I'm the only person patiently waiting for Torontonians to stop laughing dumb white people into opportunities. Why do you guys always have to take jokes further than it needs to go? There are people in the city, there are people in the GTA trying to do serious things who would really benefit from having this type of support. Yet you guys, like, I'm not even saying an endorsement from Drake is anything.
It definitely is.
Drake's entire existence is cosplay. So it's of no surprise to me that he's going to endorse somebody who's cosplaying Caribbean and Black Torontonian culture. But like, why are you guys supporting it? Is this not pathetic to anybody else? Like, this is actually really getting under my skin now. I'm watching these things and I couldn't even push hard air out of my nose for me to really go ahead and share it and like, and hype it up. Like, and I'm already knowing it's Black people doing the most, giving them the tools and the ability to get to these heights. And then sitting down and being the video vixens for them, like Black men in particular, find shame.
Ooh.
Like, actually have shame. In a time where attention is a currency and you guys, this is what you guys are uplifting. Like, this is giving 2020 when everybody was locked down and bored. What is this?
Okay, so at first when I saw this, I was kind of annoyed because I don't feel like Snow Day is like some like dumb white person exploiting the culture. I don't think his intention or even the act itself, like, I like to look at it as comedy first, right? I'm not looking at the social implications.
This is some minstrel.
We were talking about that after. So for those who may not know, minstrelsy, I guess, or minstrel, it happened before America, but in America, there was, I guess, white comedians, white actors, white entertainers whose whole performance would be based on putting on blackface and acting Black.
I wonder who else on the Snow Day song put on blackface before.
Okay. Let me see you push a T. And I'm gonna play an example of minstrelsy, right? And
every time I wheel about a jump, Jim Crow, I went down to the river. I didn't mean to stay, but there I saw so many gals, I couldn't get away.
The fact that he said gals is like, that was like, oh shoot, you know? So I won't play too much of it.
I would have boxed this dude if I seen him.
What's crazy about it is at the time, this was the hottest act that you could find. They would have minstrel shows traveling. And people would pay top dollar.
I would have boxed at you if I seen them. But you're right. Continue.
Yeah, and I'm sure Black people weren't feeling this. But white people, like, this was their jam, you know? And it led me to believe, okay, like, these guys would put on an accent. Obviously, they put on blackface and have this exaggerated thing. And their intention was to make Black people look stupid. I don't think Snow Day's intention is to make Black people look stupid. Maybe Toronto Man's even look stupid.
It might not be the same intention, but it's the same effect, bro. Because like you said, white people are getting a lot of entertainment from this other white man cosplaying as a Black person, which is the exact same thing that is happening. You said you were DJing at a prom and the youths asks you to play the Wagwan Delilah. Yeah. I hope I don't regret this question.
I know what you're going to say. And
what color was the youth that asked you to play the song?
He was brown. He was probably Indian.
There we go, bro. I was hoping it was a white youth, but I'm thanking God he wasn't black.
You know what's kind of crazy? You know what's kind of crazy? And like, I rock with Snow Day. So I feel like I got to keep saying that because I don't want it to seem like I'm dissing him. But when I had to play that song, I felt bad for the black people there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I almost felt like cringing that, like, not that it's a bad song, you know what I'm saying? But it was like, because it's, I don't want to say mockery either, but you know what I'm trying to say? Because it is some type of exaggerated form of their culture, it felt weird. But yeah, it also felt good to see people like connecting to the song. But what are they connecting to? They're connecting to a mockery of a particular section of people in Toronto who are maybe lower education, lower income, and that's actually how they talk. Yeah. So when people watch these type of skits, they're laughing in the sense where it's like, yo, that is what a Toronto man would say.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And that's where it can get harmful.
This is and this is to all the content creators that do the Toronto man skits.
Yes.
Who are they emulating when they say Toronto man? Are they emulating an upstanding white guy, you know what I mean?
From Toronto.
Who just has his 401k and went home to his wife and kids, has a dog, Sally Jones type. Or like, when they say Toronto man, like, what are we envisioning when we say this?
Yo, is Toronto man just another way to say the N-word?
I don't know, bro.
Cause yo, it always, like, when you picture a Toronto man, it's usually a black dude, bro. I'm gonna be honest, like, at least from my perspective, like, I don't see like a hood white dude or a hood brown dude. It's always a hood black dude, to be honest.
And this is like what kind of perpetuates these stereotypes. So when, right, like, most black people aren't gangsters, bro. So when mans are just walking down the street and then people want to cross to the other side or whatever, like, yo, sometimes I be in like a pink button up type and they still not, and people who are not black are going and scared. And I'm like, why are you scared of a man in a pink shirt right now?
But I don't think doing the Toronto man accent or making comedy skits around that is leading to making them be perceived as scarier or more violent. I think it's more of like an uneducated, ridicule kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
But I feel like that goes hand in hand. If someone's uneducated,
you're like, what are they going to do? He could just punch me.
No, literally.
He might rob me. He's uneducated.
No, literally. Like, is that dumb? And this is subconscious. So I'm actually glad we got to this point of the conversation, you know? Because earlier I'm like, how can I like express this point where I don't sound like a Karen, you know, like a social justice warrior type shit.
Something like Dr. Umar Johnson.
I lie.
No, but this is my question. Like, is something like Wagwan Delilah, is that harmful to the perception of black people? Does it contribute to a negative perception of black people?
Okay, I would say that it's not harmful because no man named Snow Day could ever do anything to even put a chink in the black community. You know what I mean?
Oh man,
I'm not trying to.
Why this is Snow Day, bro?
That's a boy.
Oh man,
I'm not trying to diss, but I'm just saying, like, he's still a new artist. The man doesn't even. He just got.
He's not a new. He's been content creating.
He just got 10k followers. You know what I mean? He can't do anything. So, you know what I mean,
bro? This guy, but like, yo, can I tell him about what you said about the follow?
We'll get to that. Okay. But I will say, it doesn't. It just like. It adds to the perpetual, like, mockery of black culture. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of people, they think black culture is cool, but that's, like, the extent of where they want to accept black people. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. We want the black culture in the space, but we don't want the black people in the space. You know what I mean? Like, type shit.
No, I know what you mean. And I think the issue, and I wouldn't even say this is because of black people, but I think black people are very accepting of people incorporating themselves into the culture.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, okay, for example, right? Say I was Chinese. I learned how to speak Mandarin. Maybe I even have a Chinese girlfriend. I listen to Chinese music. A true Chinese person will still see me as an outsider.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? They're not going to graft me in.
And the thing with Black people, and especially Jamaicans and Caribbean culture, when we see any white person or Asian person do something that even remotely resembles our culture, we big them up. Forward, forward, bip, 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 bip. If you see the white man go on stage and he busses a little wine, bip,
bip, bip, he's the guy. He's the guy.
He's the guy. He's the guy. All the girl, them love him. You see the Asian man go, he spins a 1-2 reggae stuff.
They're going crazy.
He's the guy. He's the guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like we are very accepting of others, but are these others accepting of us? You know what I mean? If I were to go to Mandarin Fest or whatever and say, yo, let me run a set. Are they letting me run a set?
But they're not even letting you into the festival. It's like, this for Chinese only.
Bro.
Maybe not, but okay, bro. But here's the thing.
If I made a K-pop song right now, is that bussing?
Probably not. But yo, let's say this. If you moved to Korea, you entrenched yourself. Your Korean, the way you spoke Korean was advanced.
Ni hao.
I'm pretty sure that's Mandarin.
Oh, shit, probably.
Yeah. But you know what I'm trying to say? Like, if it's not like you just have a basic understanding of, like, you have to be super entrenched in the Korean culture. Then maybe they'll be, like, impressed.
Yeah.
But even then, are they gonna marry their daughter off to you? Exactly. Are they going to see you at the same way they see a fellow countryman? And I think this is kind of slowly leading Black people to start gatekeeping in a way that benefits them. Because you know what? A Chinese person will accept your money.
Exactly.
No matter what. They might not accept you, but they will accept your money.
And that's the stance we have to take. I feel like, yo, I don't even want to have to be taking the stance of like, oh, don't be saying Wagwan in your track. But yo, you're making bread off it. And like for a long time, we haven't had any opportunities in the music industry, broski. So like,
wait, okay, since what? Post Michael Jackson, the music industry's still been like, it's dominated by Black people.
I'm just talking about Jamaican and Caribbean culture.
Oh, okay, okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like the label, the record labels and the business and the music infrastructure is not there. So I feel like we need every hit we can get right now. Type shit.
But then it's kind of like you're, and then maybe this speaks to the paradox of allyship, where it's like, if you want to be a true ally, give your sets up to people from that country, from that culture. But then it's like, maybe you should just be an ally for your people, because what's the point of like me losing opportunity just to like be like, yo, I'm so about Black culture. Like, I give my money to all my money to Black people.
That is the vulturism. If you go to my culture, take just to get back to you guys, that is the true essence of altruism.
But then if you want to be a true ally and take the money and then give it back to the people, you might as well just do that for your own people and just do your thing. Like, what's the point in like working?
But I'm just saying, then do that with your music.
Yeah, exactly. Like specialize in Asian music or whatever you're from.
And then we're all happy.
And then everyone is eating.
Yo, remember, yo, we will take your money, but also we don't really need it, bro. The Black spending power is in the trillions, my nigga. Like, if we were to put that money inward and focus on ourselves, we will be blessed, bro. We don't need anybody else, fam. It's just the fact that we are so brainwashed and we're actually, like, we're in our infancy stage when it comes to financial literacy that we're still growing. You know what I mean? We're not there yet. But once we really focus our money inwards, it's a problem for a lot of these other guys, bro.
Man, all of a sudden, like, it's going to be... If you got, like, you know, there used to be Black only sports leagues,
bro.
If you guys decided, yo, let's just only have a league of like Black people, buddy, NBA would be boring. Like, it would be European, but it would end up being just like Euro League or whatever. Facts. You know, like, say goodbye to like 360 dunks. You know what I'm saying? Like,
pass, layup, pass.
Bare post up, bare fundamentals, pump fakes.
It would be like the Spurs versus the Spurs every game, bro.
Yeah, and like, no man's like dunking on nobody. You know what I'm saying? Facts. Bare fouls. So, okay. So, where does this... I like that this song was able to open up dialogue about a bigger issue, because once again, my initial reaction as a content creator who makes like who wants to make people laugh is like, that's what he wanted to do. Snorri's intention was to make people laugh. I don't think he was like, yo, I'm going to get rich off doing this accent. Like, he made so many TikToks with that accent because that's probably how he makes people laugh when he's maybe working with people at the construction site or his friends and he does that accent. They laugh. And are they laughing with it or at it? Maybe most likely at it, but sometimes with it. If you know people like that, you relate to that. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people do know at least a couple people who do talk like that, you know? So where does this lead us? Is this going to lead us to... Did this separate the city more than it brought together the city?
I feel like the city is never together, you know what I mean? So, like, this just... This is just going to be a blip on the radar, you know what I mean? A year is going to go by... The only snow day we're going to be talking about is when the kids are home from school type shit. You know what I mean? So Drake gave him the follow. He got like a few follows off of that. I thought the Drake co-sign would have brought him to the stratosphere. You know what I mean?
The 100,000s.
But I guess the song was so shit. Decided not to even follow this guy. But I'm sure he has great content. So I'm sure like we're looking forward to some more skits. Maybe you could do like an African song next. Who knows? Maybe he could do like a Spanish song.
I'd want to like, and this is a part of the reason why I wanted to interview him, is I want to hear his thought process behind it, see how he actually is in person, because I've spoken to him here and there. We've sent voice notes and stuff, but I've never met him or I don't know him like that. So yeah. All I know is what I see online, right?
Yeah.
And it's most likely that he's not like that all the time, you know, probably even like at all, maybe, yeah. You know? But this is what I want to ask. We know Snow Day, but Snow, the Canadian dance hall artist, Informer.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel? Do you feel like that was a little more of an authentic ode to reggae, to dance hall?
Was he making a mockery of it? I don't think so.
Nah, he was like, it was so good that I was like, is this guy even white? You know what I'm saying?
When I listen to the song, Anything For You, there's Nadine Sutherland on the remix, Beanie Man, Buju, all these people that collaborated type shit. When Snow was going to Jamaica and going to New York, he was actually checking in, you know what I mean? So that was before my time. I can't really speak on it. Based off what I seen, that's not a mockery. You know, I'm going to keep bringing it back to my original point because I know in the comments, niggas are going to misinterpret me. I'm just going to say, the only problem is don't make a mockery of the Mandem's culture, bro.
Okay, but I feel like it's still kind of in the air of like, okay, so how do I participate in the culture without exploiting it? But the only way to do that is to like give opportunities to other people. Now I'm not participating.
I didn't say the only way to do that is to give opportunities to other people. Okay, and now you're conflating two different points. One point is directed to the song,
okay,
which is the song is literally a mockery. It's a mock song. You even said it yourself. The song is a joke.
It's meant to be. It's a comedic song.
The song is a joke.
Yeah, I guess.
The song is
okay. Okay, it is. 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 It's not a serious track.
Exactly. The song is not a serious song. It's not an authentic, genuine song. So the song is a joke. So that is that point. The point in giving opportunities to others, you cannot call yourself an ally. Because I'm gonna have to name drop. Calls himself an ally to black people. You know what I mean? But you're literally taking opportunities from those people. So these are two different points from two different conversations. I don't want to conflate them.
But what if in doing that, he's simultaneously spreading awareness and being an activist for like social causes? You don't need the awareness?
We don't need awareness for Murder, She Wrote, dog.
It's always Murder, She Wrote.
We don't need any more awareness, man. We're aware of the track.
No, I don't mean awareness to the music, bro. I don't mean awareness to the music. I mean awareness to obstacles or systemic injustice.
And this is another thing. I don't know if I don't want to say black people is a monolith. I don't want to speak for all black people. But as this black person, I'm tired of hearing, oh, black people, we struggle all the time. Slavery, everything is slavery. We was kings, bro. We respond on this earth, we spawned as kings, and we are still kings, bro. Don't let no one tell you are oppressed. You know what I mean? Like, we have to go out and start taking our back owning our We had black owned banks before it came and burnt it down. We built it back up again and they burnt it down. We have to keep building the back up no matter how many times they burn it down, broski. So like, I don't even remember what your original question was, but
no, if you are participating in black culture, but simultaneously you're drawing attention to systemic racism, to injustices, right? Like you're almost covering your tracks and doing your part. Can't you still participate? Or you think that's not enough? Because that's just words at the end of the day, but words are powerful too, right?
I feel like, at what point is there going to be actions though? You know what I mean? Like when you're making the bread and when you're doing these sets, those are actions. You know what I mean? So you can just go put up a story like, oh, I hope all my black DJs find sets. You know what I mean? And then it's like, and I'm not speaking.
I hope.
And listen, I'm not speaking as a person who's lacking because I make more than enough. Like I am good. But I speak to DJs all the time and there's not opportunities for these guys. You know what I mean? And I'm like, yo, to have an Asian person come do the reggae set is just blasphemy to me, especially when these guys aren't even that good at it. You know what I mean? Like, if it was someone like Mighty Crown, those are Asian Jamaican DJs. Wicked. Black Chiny. Wicked. Super Dupes. All those guys. Wicked. Willie Chin. Wicked, bro. I grew up on Willie Chin mixes, fam. You know what I mean? So those guys, like, I'm not saying that Asian people cannot play reggae music because there are literally Chinese Jamaicans. I'm only saying when it comes to dancehall. DJ Shy when it comes to dancehall.
I was looking for this word this whole time. By the way, I cannot believe you just name dropped all those people. And I hope this doesn't have negative repercussions, but I appreciate that you're being honest because this is how you feel, you know. And you know these people.
And this is the thing, like, I know them, you know what I mean? So like, and I'm not saying this as like a beef thing, I'm just saying like,
no, you're calling it how it is.
Literally, like, this is how I feel. This is a sentiment that I heard from other DJs in the city, other people in the city. If you go on TikTok, there's man saying like, yo, these downtown DJs are when it comes to Caribbean music, you know what I mean? And like, bro, like, if mans are offended, then so be it, bro. Study some more.
Dogger.
Except for DJ Shy, you could be offended. I don't like that.
Okay, but here's what I want to draw attention to. Meritocracy, okay? So meritocracy is a system, organization, or society in which people are chosen and moved into positions of success, power, and influence on the basis of their demonstrated abilities and merit. So you think that these particular DJs who are entrenched in these scenes, they're not earning it based on their demonstrated abilities or their merit, or maybe they might have a name and have a local following. So at the end of the day, it's about getting bums in seats, as they say.
No, that's literally what it's about. And that's what I'm saying. We have to start owning our own venues, which is very hard in Toronto, you know what I mean? Because that's a whole nother monopoly. But the whole point is, it's not black people owning these venues. These non-black people also want non-black DJs. If you are a black DJ, you have to be the lightest complexion possible. You know what I mean? We can't get too dark in here. You know what I mean? So that is just what it boils down to. And it's not even, you know, like, this is just the result of the reality. I'm just here to call it out for what it is, you know, regardless of how we got here.
Fair.
And to answer your question, no, I do not think is a better dancehall DJ than 75 people that I could list off.
But he doesn't
right now
just play dancehall.
But if
he'll play hip hop, he'll play other stuff too. Afro beats.
Mans are hiring him for the reggae set though, bro.
Grab somebody. She is a cutie.
Like, yo, mans are having full like dancehall, like, it's not a full dancehall party, but if you're using the dancehall lingo, you know, oh, bashment, you know what I mean? Oh, Steve, like, I'm not sure if that's, I'm just trying to think of, like, but they use these dancehall words to make it a dancehall-esque party. It's going to be basement vibes, bashment vibes, come wind up yourself, this, this, that, that. Okay, then where are the Caribbean DJs? Where are the dancehall DJs? Like, you know what I mean?
All right. Well, is there anything else you want to add? We've been talking for like more than an hour. I thought it was going to be like a little 20, 25 minute thing. But
yeah, I hear B3 out there whistling and trying to get Madam's attention.
Oh, for real? Yeah. Okay, I did hear someone out there too. All right, yo, well, where can we find you, DJ Natural?
Yo, don't find me, bro. After this interview, it's going to be cussing me. Do not look for me. But if you want to send me some positive comments and some love, it's at djnatural.wave, all platforms. More followers than that's noted. I'm joking.
You can find me at DJsRTV. Subscribe to Burrow Sound. Check us out as well. You see me on We Love Hip Hop. Subscribe to We Love Hip Hop as well. And thank you for tuning in. Comment down below whether you think this song has united Toronto or further divided Toronto. That's my question. That's what I personally just want to know. So if you've been even tuning in this whole time, shout out. But yeah, man.
Last thing I want to add, do not be offended by anything said in this podcast. We are completely trolling. Everything is an exaggeration. If you are offended, that is a problem within yourself.